Moncrief on News Talk.
Junk food. Yum. Is there really any way to compete with it? Is it possible to produce healthy food in the home that's just as nice? Today in the US, it's National Junk Food Day, an attempt, obviously, to wean Americans from their usual diet of kale and broccoli. Aisling Larkin, author of You Are What You Eat, is here to explain why it's so nice. Good afternoon, Aisling.
Good afternoon, Sean. I mean, did they really need a day, you know, National Junk Food Day? I mean, I don't know, is it serving its purpose, to be honest?
I know, it's irony free, I would have thought, really. Yeah, probably every day is Junk Food Day in that part of the world. Why is junk food nice? So why does it seem to be addictive?
Yeah, so look, I suppose my background, obviously, as you know, is food and everything, but my master's is food product development. So I'm actually almost like the antithesis to this. I work in the space of developing four delicious, nutrient-dense foods that are gorgeous, but not the junk food version. And when you develop a food for the junk food market, like ultimately there's something called a bliss point. And when you design that recipe, when you create that food, it has to have this sweet spot, the exact ratio of fat, sugar, and salt, along with having the texture in your mouth, a little maybe coating of fat inside your mouth, a melting moment, a crunch, a crispness. So it's like the mouthfeel, the texture, and then that bliss point between sugar, fat, and salt. So it's a very lucrative and exact science when you are designing junk food, because what you want is for people not actually to be satiated or full, but just going, I want more of that, you know. Ah. And it's a dangerous ground to be in. Like, junk food can be delicious in a moment, you know, but I think it's that balance of not overdoing it as well.
Yeah. And well, I mean, even from that description, it seems like an awful lot of thought and design goes into this food.
Oh, huge. Absolutely huge. I mean, because you're looking for sensory satisfaction. You know, it has to be like, obviously, the look, the smell, the weight of something before you eat it. And then it's that instant, what, you know, do you want a crunch? Do you want to melt? What are you looking for? And then it's those layers of flavor. And you'll notice with certain foods, you know, like something like Pringles almost, they almost melt or dissolve in your mouth. So they're not hard work. They're not challenging to eat. But then as it melts and dissolves, you kind of get that layer of, you know, whatever flavor it is, salt and vinegar or sour cream and onion. And I mean, it is joyful. It's a delicious experience, because that's what it's designed to do, because the more delicious it is, the more we crave it, the more we want it, but we never really feel full and satisfied after it.
Yeah, that's some trick to kind of make you cram in a load of burgers, but you still want more burgers.
Absolutely. That's the job if you get a brief like that.
Yeah. is that relatively easy to do, because you just have to design the burger and then you're just kind of farting out these burgers continuously. All you have to make sure is that they're the same every time. As opposed to trying to devise variety in a menu.
Yeah, well, I suppose it is, because you've got free rein. You know, you're designing for bliss point, not for nutritional value, you know, not for satiety, not for something that's going to keep you nourished and full. So, I mean, yeah, you've got free rein. It's certainly more difficult to design foods that are delicious first, but then that also are, you know, satiating foods. And by that, I mean, it is something that gives you sensory pleasure, that it is delicious. It's crunchy, it's smooth, it's creamy, but also that those layers of flavor are there as well. So it's a trickier one to do when it's not junk food.
Yeah. And plus also you're designing food that, you know, you've had your meal and you go, that was lovely, I'm just going to sit here and rub my belly rather than I'm going to go back and order more. Are there things though that actually aren't going to give you a coronary bypass that you can eat that are kind of like a junk food experience?
Yeah, like I suppose that's the world that I exist in, and it's not redesigning junk food, but it's just making delicious food. Like something like think of something like even like Mars Bar Rice Krispie Squares. You know those ones? They're delicious and they're such a treat. You see them at birthday parties all the time. And I suppose, like, on that note, if it is junk food, like, and it is lovely, And it is a birthday. Like, savor that occasion. You know what I mean? You're with people you love. Enjoy the food if it's delicious. Have a moment. Like, this thing of kind of labeling junk food as, is it naughty? Is it forbidden? Should we not eat it? All of a sudden, we're giving the power to the food and we become powerless. Whereas actually, we don't need permission like a junk food day to eat it. You can actually just go, you know what? I'm going to have something like this. I'm going to savor the moment and I'm going to move on and, you know, live a normal, balanced life. And I suppose in doing that, if you have, I have a beautiful recipe on my website for Mars Bars Rice Krispie Squares, but they're a better version for you. So ashlinglarkin.ie is the website. And what I do is I still use Rice Krispies, but in with the Rice Krispies, I put something called quinoa, which we probably know as a grain, but you can puff it like popcorn. You can put it on a pan and pop it like popcorn. And then I put that in. So that's like a protein food. So it's a little bit better for you. Then I put in a couple of little milled chia seeds and flax seeds. You don't know they're there. Mix that with honey and peanut butter. So you get this beautiful crispy kind of base, just like you would with the caramel squares. Then I do this layer of caramel. So I've got a great recipe for making nature's caramel, which is dates. So you soak dates in boiling water, add really good vanilla bean paste, pinch of sea salt, blitz those up, and you get this jar of delicious caramel. Layer that over that crispy Rice Krispie base, and then a little layer of dark chocolate over the top. Pinch of sea salt, chill those down, cut them into 16 squares, and they are delicious.
Nice. You know the sauces they put on burgers? Did they put a lot of work into those?
Yes, they do. So, I mean, a lot of them, again, are mayonnaise-based sauces. So for that palatability and the amount of fat that's in them, they immediately ping things like dopamine in your brain, you know, and you're going, oh my God, this is so delicious. But I've made a salad dressing for the summer. So it's I call it my Big Mac salad dressing. So what it is, okay. I hear
lawsuits coming, but never mind.
You know, we'll work on the name. We'll work on the name. It is a mustard and gherkin salad dressing. Okay. So I would make my salad dressings, and it's just such a great tip at home. Half mayonnaise and half live natural yogurt. So you're cutting the fat and the calories in half, but you're still getting that creamy palatability. So I love that. And then in the supermarkets, all of the supermarkets do an own brand range of this mustard and gherkin relish. So you mix that with the mayo and the yogurt, tiny little bit of, if you had something like dill or something like that, you could add it in, or a drop of a little white wine vinegar. Stir that all together, keep it in a jam jar in your fridge. And that as a salad dressing is gorgeous, because you think of our famous burger, you know, and it has that mustard and that little gherkin on top. And we love that. We, you know, our brain remembers that we like that. Most people like it as a flavor. So this is a lovely way to bring something kind of interesting and creamy as a sauce that you can put on burgers, dip your wedges in, have it as a salad dressing. And it's a really nice one.
Thanks a million, Aisling. That was the food writer and TV chef, the delicious Aisling Larkin.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2. On News Talk, conversation that counts.